I'm going to read some scriptures. I may not be very long tonight. I have an aching leg. One of these chairs or one of these pieces of furniture hit me the other day, and it's... I can't do anything without banging myself up, it seems like, but that's not going to stop me. If Sister Vicky can keep going, I can keep going. Amen. That's right. That's right. Anyway, I got some scriptures here. I'm going to read one in the book of Mark. Amen. The 12th chapter of Mark. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Joe, you did good tonight with the microphone. You're welcome. I was talking to him. I just thought of this. I talked to him about his doing this with the mic so much, so he stopped. Now, I have a problem doing this, you know. I catch all this on video. I'm always doing this, you know. Y'all notice that? I'm trying to stop, but maybe if I get it all done now, and I'll quit, you know. Brother Dana does this. You know. But we still got mics at work. Amen. Oops, I did that. That's where you got it from, because I do it. Okay. All right. 12th chapter. All right. You'd be amazing what all I see on our video when I'm editing. Amen. Amen. 12th chapter of Mark. One of the scribes came to him, having heard them reasoning. And this is the conversation the Sadducees had with Jesus about, you know, if a man's brother died and leave his wife behind him, leave no children, his brother takes his wife, raises up seed to his brother, and there were seven brothers, and the first wife, and dying, left no seed, and the second took her and died, and neither left any seed, and the third alike, and seven had her, and left no seed, so whose wife will she be in the resurrection? So anyway, we're at verse 28. Jesus gave him an answer that wasn't quite what they expected to hear. But in verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.'" Everybody say, "With all thy heart." "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all thy soul." Say, "all thy soul."
"All thy soul."
"And with all thy mind." "All thy mind." "And with all thy strength."
"All thy strength."
This is the first commandment. And this is the first commandment from God Almighty to the human race. Amen. To love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Hallelujah. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. You may be seated. An old country singer years ago, I think I'll title my message after his song. Amen. It used to make me giggle because I'd listen to it late at night lying in my bed from the Grand Ole Opry, and the name of the song was "Do What You Do Do Well." I dedicate this to my nephew, Richie. Do what you do do well. Everybody say, do what you do.
Do what you do.
Do well. This is what Jesus is saying here. You know, love God, but do it with all your heart. Love God, but love Him with all your strength. Love God with all your mind. With all your soul. Do what you do. Do well. It's hard to say that without thinking a lot of thoughts. I should have put Brother Dan in another room before I attempted to go through this. Amen.
My phone,
too. Amen. Well, you know, the people come among us sometimes and say, I can't find anything to do. You know, why don't you give me something to do? If you give them something to do, they don't do it right. Or it's not what they wanted to do. They wanted something else to do. You know, it's like, but we're not all the same. Like somebody already mentioned tonight, we're not all the same. Sister A.J., I believe, was talking, you know, you won't do everything like I do. And I won't do everything like you do. If we all were just alike, one old boy in Arkansas said at a camp meeting, somebody was at the pulpit and said, what if everybody was just like you? He said, oh, we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? Amen. But I'm glad not everybody's like me. I wish everybody agreed with everything I do, but they don't. But there is something that you do that nobody else does that. And only you know what it is. And even if you don't know what it is, God knows what it is because He put it in you. Somebody turn the air back on for a minute. Amen. We'll get it on until it's cool again. We don't have an automatic thermostat here. We're not citified enough for that yet. So we have to manually turn it on and off. I took an old country boy to Memphis, Tennessee to a church function, a conference. He'd never been out of the country. We walked into the motel room we were all sharing, the Bible college kids. We walked into the motel room that we were all sharing, and he said, oh, wow, look at that, wow. I said, what? I got all excited with him. I didn't know what he found, but what was it? He said, a thermostat. A real thermostat. One of these days we'll get a real one too. But do what you do, do well. Amen. The book of James. Book of James, the first chapter. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers. Be ye doers of the word. Not hearers only. A lot of people can quote the word. A lot of people have the word memorized. But I'm here tonight to say to all of us, do what you do, do well. Amen. There's something you can do, and that's hear the word of God and act upon it. You can love God, not in word only, but in action. With all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And if that's all you can do, that's a good thing to be able to do. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's another way of saying, if you just hear it and you don't do it, you forget what you heard. There's something about being in action and doing something that makes a lasting impression on a person, on yourself. You know, I can talk about building something, but when I build it, it's more than just talk. I can talk about playing a musical instrument, but when I play the musical instrument, it's more than talking about it. I can talk about believing that we need to go out and win souls, but it's when we go out and win souls that it becomes something more than just talk. Praise God. I can say I love God, but I can show I love God by the things that I do better than I can show it by the words that I say. That's what we're saying tonight. Whatsoever you do in word, this is the word of God, in word or in deed, do all. Do all in what name? In the name of the Lord. Let me just read a few verses before that. I'm in the book of Colossians, the third chapter of Colossians, starting at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now this verse of Scripture, as I read into it, you can clearly see, it's not limited to just one thing. It's whatsoever you do. That can include water baptism. And sometimes we mention that, but really what it's talking about here is that we're to care about one another. And in doing so, we're showing God that we really do love God. Amen. Amen. We're to be kind to one another. This is the whole Word of God. It's consistent all the way through. Be kind-hearted. Be gentle. Be long-suffering. Be patient with others. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And Jesus, in talking to the scribe, he said, Now the first and great commandment is, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. And the second is likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. So the second is actually the action part of what he's saying is the first commandment. If we don't love our brother who we have seen, how can we love him that we say we love? Hallelujah. If we can't get along with one another in this old world, how can we expect to face God and please Him and be at peace with Him when His great, first, mighty commandment to the whole human race is love Him with all your heart. Love Him with all your mind and your soul and all your strength. And the second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He doesn't mean it's kind of similar in a little small way. It means, hey, if it's likened to it in this way. If you don't do that, then you're not doing the first thing that he's talking about. Because it's impossible to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, all your strength, without loving others. With all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And we could say, I love, I care. I care about this person that I have feelings toward, negative feelings toward. We can say that we love and we care for this person, but we wish they were dead in our thoughts. We wish they had never been born. And it's just words. It's just words. They're just as meaningless as speaking in tongues without love. No more than a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass. In order to know that we really love somebody, all the negative thoughts have to be cast away. And I want to tell you this. A person that Maybe there's been a wedge between you through the years. And no matter who's at fault, and no matter what happened to cause it, a person who wants to manifest that I care about that individual can do so only if they really care. But if we don't care with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, and all of our soul, it'll show up. No matter how much we try to prove we care, it'll show up. And something we say, something we do, something that we didn't expect, and we kind of pop off at a time when we shouldn't have. Because you can't love somebody with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul, and have any portion of a lack of love toward that individual in your heart, mind, soul, or strength. If we're going to love them with all of our hearts, that's not 99%. Do what you do well. Hallelujah. If you're going to love them, love them. If you're going to care, care. If you're going to love God, love Him. It might mean that there'll be some things that you love a lot that are occupying a whole lot of God's time that He wanted to spend with you. Now, only you know what that might be. I don't know. Because we're all different, and we all have different interests, and we can go places, do things, and have this and that to take care of, and we have all these ties and all these activities going on. God didn't tell us to seclude ourselves in a church building and just have church all the time. He wants us to go into the world. Go ye forth into the whole world. Teach people. Preach to people. But He wants us to be witnesses. And that's more than teaching and preaching. Be ye witnesses. Go into all the world and be a witness. Into the othermost cities of the world. Now, how do you witness? Well, there's several good ways to being a witness. You can talk about it, and that's good. You can knock on doors and invite people to church, and that's good. In fact, this new home that Sister Vicki and them are getting, their neighbors are apostolic, one God, Jesus name people. It's amazing what God can do when people just have the attention of all the devils in the world. Trying to figure out what to do wrong against them, you know, because they don't like the way God's blessing them. I don't understand why the cancer, why the suffering and all that stuff, but I do know this, miracles are happening. And God knows. God knows. But they were over there Saturday, this past Saturday, taking a look at that home. I would have been there too. Somebody gave me a home. I'd be looking at every little piece of it. Wow, look at this. And dreaming of moving in. And they were over there taking a look at it. And some young people. And she said, they dress like y'all. They look like y'all. And she said, they were knocking on doors. And they came up to me and invited me to church. And she said, I told them I have a church. And she said, so she asked these people, so what religion are you? And they said, we're apostolic. And the conversation went on, and it turned out, she said, well, we don't live here, but we're going to live here soon. And she said, well, I live right there. And maybe even if you do have a church, you can come and visit our church. Now, isn't that wonderful how God is putting us all together? And who knows? Amen. They may get over there and just find exactly what all this has been all about, how the hand of God has been leading them to help some other people who need to see what we've already seen and what we already know. And, we're going to be part of Sister Vicki's life no matter where they go to church. But I hope they find a really good church there so we can rejoice with them. Amen. Hallelujah. But you can knock doors, and that's good. That's a witness. But just to knock doors is not all there is to it. Just going to church is not all there is to it. And just talking about what you know to be right is not all there is to it. But it's all important. We need to talk. We need to attend church. We need to do what we can to invite people to church. But beyond all that, we need to love God with all of our hearts. all of our minds, all of our strength, all of our soul. And in order to do that, you got to love others just like you love God. With all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, but what about when they've done this to you? Love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you. I'm not making these words up. I didn't just come up with this thought all of a sudden. But it's God that wants you to remember. If you can remember, do what you do well, and it causes you to love your neighbor and love God. I'm glad I came up with this subject for Richie tonight. Do what you do well, boy. Do what you do well. That was a song I used to enjoy when I was a kid. I'd go, that's so funny. I was a grown man before I really knew what the song was about. I just thought it was a funny song to giggle about. But what it was saying, whatever you do, do it right. Do it well. Even the word says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. That's talking about the work of God. Talk about the work of God. Don't go about it half-heartedly. Hey, if this is the work of God, if I know what I am doing is the work of God, then I need to go at it with all my heart. And if I'm only half-heartedly going after it and saying I love God with all my heart and saying this is the work of God, something's wrong. Hallelujah. If it's the work of God, it deserves wholehearted attention. 100% effort. It deserves our best. It deserves our diligence. It deserves our persistence. It deserves our patience. It deserves our consistency. It deserves us staying with it until the job gets done. Hallelujah! Or else we're just saying words and not doing it. Hallelujah! Praise God! We need to do what we do with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul, and our strength. That means church can't play second fiddle to anything. God is not second chair in the orchestra. Amen. And the people around you are not some kind of people that you should be against. The best way you can be a witness is love your neighbor as yourself. No matter how many times you knock, no matter how many times you talk to them, no matter how many times that you say, I love everybody. Amen. Love them. With all your mind, all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. And I want to tell you, when you love somebody like that, they're going to know it. They're going to know it. It doesn't take very much love to go a long ways. Wars could be avoided with just a little bit of love. People are always killing one another. Much of this could be avoided with just a little bit of love. Caring about somebody else rather than arguing with them. Not very many fights are won with an argument. I've counseled a lot of people through the years because I've been in situations where there were a lot of people involved in churches that I was associated with. And with a lot of families, you always have these things to deal with. I don't enjoy getting involved in their personal fights. You know, some of them, kind of like that scripture, what if this one died and got this one's husband and this one's wife and on and on and on, who's, you know. And so you end up with five or six marriages and kids with every marriage, and then he falls back in love with his second wife and wants to undo everything that's been done. You sit there and you try to figure all this out with them. Sometimes we can't find answers to all the situations in life. Amen. But I have noticed something that is very strong in my memory, places where I've been. The winner every time is love. Not half the time, not sometimes, but every time.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Doesn't the Bible say God is love? Then we need to grab a hold of it with all of our hearts, all of our mind, and all of our soul. Amen. And somehow try to manifest the love of God. It's something about it being shed abroad in our hearts. We can talk about having the Holy Ghost all we want to, but if it's not being shed abroad, if the love of God is not having an effect, it's just talk. Hallelujah. It's just talk. Amen. If we love each other, and we cannot show that kind of a love to others who are not present tonight, then maybe we don't love each other as much as we thought we did. Because what if one of us misses a couple of times? The love of God is this kind of love. It's called agape love. Amen. It's a kind of love that nothing changes it. Ain't nothing you can do that's going to stop God's love. There's nothing that can happen that's going to change the way He feels about us. There's not any sin you can commit that's going to cause God to stop loving you. There is not anything that you can ever, ever be involved in. Even though it may be ungodly, it may be terrible, the perfect example of what God expects of us is what God Himself is doing. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. With mercy I have drawn thee. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I gather you with my outstretched arms. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lay not this sin to their charge. Hallelujah. Praise God. The very people that crucified Him. Peter, on behalf of Jesus who was crucified, invited them to come and be loved. Do what you do well. Not just, okay. You know, there was a time when we used to speak to one another. That should never be a part of a Christian life. Amen. If somebody's not speaking, let it be the other person. Amen. Praise God. If somebody's not acting right, let it be the other person. You know, people are mean. People are cruel. People will do you all kinds of ways. And they'll leave you wondering, how can the human race even be so low? You know, and you'll get to thinking, I don't see how anybody can stoop that low. But nevertheless, the Word of God tells us, love them no matter how low they are. No matter how bad they act. No matter how hateful they are. Love them anyhow. You don't have to put up with their nonsense to love them. Amen. You can always go and do something. I mean, when we start talking to people about God, don't they come up with all kinds of excuses to go here and go there and do this and do that? Well, we can do the same thing. Amen. When they start being obnoxious and mean and cruel, you don't have to stop loving them and say, oh, I've got to go somewhere. In fact, it might be better for them for you to leave and go somewhere. Because if all they're doing is being hateful and mean to you, you don't have to stand there in their face and let them just keep on cussing and raving and swearing at you. Amen. You got something to do, place to go. Go for it. Love them anyway. Say, see you later. Have a nice day. And off you go. You don't have to quit loving them. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay in their house to keep loving them. You don't have to stay in their face to keep loving them. That's why it's good to go to church once in a while and refresh ourselves. We need a refreshing sometimes. We need a refreshing sometimes. Because the world is cruel to us. People are mean. People are hateful. There's terrible things going on around us. And no matter what you're associated with, you're going to have negative things happen to you. Just make sure they're coming from out there, not from inside out. Let the negative things that happen be something that causes, in the midst of darkness, your light to shine. Hallelujah. The greater the darkness, the more noticeable the light. To join in with the darkness is to not accomplish anything. To say, well, I'll go along with you in order to try to win you. Hey, it doesn't work. You have to take a stand. And sometimes a stand is uncomfortable because people you care about, you have to stand for what you know is right. And it's not a lack of love to take a stand. It's because of the love of God that there are some places where you cut the tie at this point. I love you, but I can't go across this line. Now, that's not a lack of love. God doesn't cross that line. He loves them too. Amen. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That leaves nothing else to seek first. Oh, but I got this to do and I got that to do and I'm interested in this and I'm interested in that and I've got all these, plans and I got all this and I got all that. Well, at the top of that list should be God first. And how God first can be part of all this needs to be your concern. And if in anything you do, it's not God first in it, then you need to get rid of it. Hallelujah. Do what you do well. With all your heart. With all your mind. With all your strength. With all your soul. How do I do that? Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. Sometimes love says, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. God doesn't hold it back. He loves us. But He says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now that's love. Amen. It's not God causing us to sin. Amen. And He cast the devil down a long time ago. And it wasn't because He hated the devil. It's because of what the devil did that was not with all his heart. I mean, Lucifer had been saying, Hallelujah! Glory! Honor to the one that sits on the throne! That's where he was. Now, that's a good place to stay. Hallelujah. Especially if there's no cross provided yet. And if there's no human race yet. If there's no mercy to be given yet. If that's all reserved. And you're just in a place where you're created to worship God. Then you need to worship Him with all your heart. Because here's what happens. No matter how much God is worship. If you don't do it with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, you're out of here. Yeah. Lucifer is an example of that. Yeah. Praise God. He cast him just like lightning. Down, 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 down. And he's the old devil. Old Slewfoot, as we call him sometimes. Amen. Yeah, he's Diablo. He's the devil. Amen. And he has no mercy. Without that mercy, he wants to still be God. And God uses the devil. God uses his devil that he, you know, he kind of, a lot of people don't realize, but the devil is nothing but a tool in the hands of God. God uses the devil. All right, Job. You going through some problems? Okay, what did the devil have to do before he could cause these problems? He had to get permission from God. Amen. So the devil is like a puppet on a string. Amen. When I say God uses the devil, I don't mean the devil is good. But in all things, we can find out what the will of God is concerning us, even if we're being hounded by devils. Because if the devil or his followers causes us to fall on our face and call on God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul, all of our strength, that's what God wanted. Hallelujah. You don't have have to wait on the devil to bring you down to do it. Praise God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. Love God. Worship Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That leaves no part for weakness. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I worship God, I love God, I want God. I know He's my Creator, my Redeemer, and I love everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ. All things. Sometimes it would be difficult without Christ. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've stood in grocery stores as a little boy wanting something. I want that. When I felt like my dad and mom maybe would say no, I just kind of mumble, I wish I had it. I wish I could get that. And you know what? I never got any results that way. I wish I would buy that for me. We'd go home without it. But it was when, oh, Daddy, I gotta have that. Close your ears, boys. It can't be an act. It has to be real. And Daddy's and Mama's know when you're putting on a big act, too. But they knew. They knew. And I wanted it with all my heart. Now, sometimes I didn't get it right then. But on Christmas morning, it would be there. Amen. I put my eyes on a bicycle. It was the most beautiful bicycle in the world, I thought. My, if I only had that. And you know what? I started wanting that so much, that's all I could talk about. That's all I could think about. And I talked about it day and night. I talked about it to my parents. I want that bicycle. Oh, Daddy, I'll get paper routes. I'll work for it. I'll go door to door, you know, selling anything. I'll mow lawns. I want that bicycle. Well, some of you can't afford it. I wish you could have it. We just can't afford it. But, oh, Daddy, I want it. I put my heart into it. One day I walked in the house. There it was. It was there. What I wanted with all my heart was there. But you know what? A few weeks later, I was riding that thing, jumping off of it, and just letting it go by itself, see what it would do. Jumping curbs with it, and, you know, it didn't last that long. Well, while it was new, and while I wanted it, it just seemed like the world to me. It seemed like everything I had to have. Now, we can get so interested in things that we want that we get caught up in those things. That's not what God wants for us. Get anything you want. Accumulate all you want. Get involved in all the activities you want to get involved in, but make sure God is first. Go into any business you want to go into. Amen. Go to school. Amen. Get involved in clubs, societies, whatever you want to. But if you love everybody that you're among, as you love God, and as you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to win some people to the Lord. That's what witnessing is all about. That's what witnessing is all about. It's beyond knocking on the doors and handing out tracts. It's beyond telling people about your church. It's beyond saying, I believe in Acts 2:38. Love them with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. So much so that next time they see you, you're still the same. No matter what they did to Jesus or His disciples, He was still the same. Come unto Me, All you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He didn't say, some of you can't come because of what you did and how you are. What he said was to the homosexual, the adulterer, the drunkard, dope addict, the crook, the liar, come unto me. I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. And he wants you to do the same. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. All of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. Are you doing that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Know ye that the Lord is our God. It is He that made us, not ourselves. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I wanted the Holy Ghost. I sought for the Holy Ghost in my life. I'd been raised in church. I wanted the Holy Ghost. I had pretended to receive it when I was young, not understanding. Put on a little act, and it lasted for 4 years, and I was a hypocrite, and it's a terrible thing to go through. Because there I was sitting in church, going through the motions, them thinking I had the Holy Ghost, them knowing I really didn't. Because I was being mean, you know. But I was in church. I thank God for the Holy Ghost and all He means to me. But everybody in the neighborhood knew I wasn't like that when I was outside the church. It got to bother me one night when I was 12 years old. It got to bother me. And I started wanting the real thing. I wanted something beyond words. I had been raised in church, so I knew what speaking in tongues sounds like. I could do it too. But I'm going to tell you, speaking in tongues, if it's not done as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, is worthless. Hallelujah. But if it's the Spirit of God that gives utterance, it's priceless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I did the stuff to make them think I got it. And that was only because I wanted that girlfriend. Yeah, because she supposedly had received it. And our church taught you don't date unbelievers. And I was already 8 years old thinking about marriage. So, 8 years of old, I pretended. Look, boys and girls, young people, don't ever pretend. You don't have to pretend. This thing is real. There's no reason to pretend at any age, and there's no. Don't try to figure it all out in your mind and say, well, I need to do this because of what the church teaches to do that. Just love God with all your heart, and everything will happen automatically for you. Hallelujah. It'll just happen. It'll just fit like a puzzle fits together. Praise God. Amen. At the age of 12, I had gone through 4 years of pretense, and yet I wasn't fooling anybody. At 2 o'clock in the morning, I was lying in bed, wishing it wasn't that way. Oh, man, I messed up. Nobody will ever believe me. You know, I was thinking, and I'm going to hell. That really is bad. And I got to think about how hot hell is, because I, back in those days, I liked to play with fire, and I did terrible things I won't talk about. But I burned myself a few times. And fire's hot. And they get up and talk about how hot hell is. It bothered me. Brother Bill Berryhill got up one night and he said, I'm going to tell you what. Hell is hotter than anything that you've ever been burned with. Man, I remember that time I fell on the floor furnace and burned myself. I remember that time I took hold of that exhaust pipe on that old tractor and my hand got stuck to it and just fried my hand. Oh, that hurt. Didn't just hurt for a minute. You just hurt. There wasn't nothing you could do to stop that pain. No amount of cold water, no. I tried everything, it just hurt. Amen. He talked about hell's hotter than that. You don't want to go to hell. And I went screaming to the altar a few times because I didn't want to go to hell. But not wanting to go to hell is not quite good enough. I found out God wants more of us than that. He wants us to serve Him because we love Him. And hell's taken care of automatically. And the devil's under His control. He just uses him to help drive people to God. Help them realize, hey, you got a monster among you. Which would you rather serve, that or me? You rather serve that that drives you or that that will lead you? Amen. And choice is yours. The choice is mine. I can choose this day who I'll serve. I can go out in the world and probably get rich selling things if I can live long enough with the knowledge I've got. And I could sell things and probably make a lot of money if money were that dear to me. I know I could. If I just forget church, I'm 60 years old, I could still be a Colonel Sanders. I believe I could. Because there's so many ideas and things that are available if you'd forget God and just go after it and work toward it and put your energy into it. If you don't believe that you have that ability in you to do that, you don't. But I do. And I don't have to prove it to anybody. Amen. I have forsaken all to follow my God. And you don't have to believe it, but I love God more than money. But money is a tool. And sometimes money is bad for people. But sometimes you need money to pay bills. But in your need of money, your want of money, or your possession of money, keep God first in your life. Hallelujah. I want God with all my heart. Seek Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. All these things, money and all, will be added to you. What you need. If you'd been in New Orleans or Gulfport last week about this time, if you'd decided to ride out the storm, and all of a sudden, your walls went out and you found yourself riding on a door on top of a wave, hanging on for dear life, and the wind just flopping you up and, you know, through the debris, and watching your neighbors scream and drown around you. If you'd have been involved in that, as many people, thousands, were just a week ago about this time. If you had suddenly an awareness, now I don't have anything. I've lost my business. I've lost my home. I've lost my friends. Hallelujah. Then you could see the importance, maybe, of having God in your life. But friends and neighbors, you don't have to wait until you're riding on a board through a stormy wave. It's important when everything's going good to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Hallelujah. Let us stand together and remember, do what you do well. Praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wanted the Holy Ghost. I went to my daddy at 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, Daddy, I'm a hypocrite. He said, I know it. Go to sleep. That was enough right there to make me mad. But I wanted the Holy Ghost. He said, I know you're phony. Go to bed. Man, you would think Daddy would be more compassionate than that. You'd think, I mean, of course, you know, I didn't think right then about how many times I had done this and I had done that and how I'd done this and done that and embarrassed Dad and done this and done that and all this done this and done that is for the protection of your children's ears so they won't hear it and go do the same. You're welcome. But Daddy, I'm a hypocrite. I'm a phony. I know it. But I want the Holy Ghost. He said, then go to bed and we'll talk about it tomorrow. I'd pretended so many times, he even thought that was a pretense. And God knows when we're pretending. God knows when we're putting on an act. But in sticking with it, hallelujah, and staying persistent, Amen. Our hearts start changing. Our thoughts start getting better. Our strength starts coming. Our ability to love starts increasing. The next day, I was still wanting the Holy Ghost. And here's what my father said. I'll tell you what you do. Tonight, we have church. He said, you get up in front of the church and tell them what you told me last night. You want the Holy Ghost? He said, tell them what a devil you've been. Boy, that was hard. It wasn't 25 or 30 people. It was 200 or so. And my father got out there and he said, my son has something to say. And I walked out crying, you know, trembling, throat dry. Confessed to them all I was a sinner. And they all sat there and looked at me sympathetically. I knew they all knew it, and they knew I knew they knew it. But I told them I wanted the real Holy Ghost. And you know what? In my little mind, I thought, by doing this, tonight when I go to that altar, I'm going to get everything. Oh, well, you know what happened? That was one of the deadest altar services we ever had. I went down there to pray. And it's like I'll pray with somebody else. And I just left me down to the end of the altar. Jesus, 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 Jesus. After a while, we just went home. Next service, I went back to the altar. Same thing again. Next service, 8 weeks. 8 weeks. Going to the altar over and over and over and over and over. They were so used to me going down there to pray. It was just becoming part of what Rendell does. And the night I received the Holy Ghost was one of those off nights where everybody was anxious to go out and eat. Couldn't wait to get out. The preacher preached too long. Time to go home, watch TV or something, you know. And I wanted the Holy Ghost. And there was only me and a lady on each side of me at that altar. Sister Gibbs and Sister Cypher. They were both around 80 years old. And I was doing my thing. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, I want the Holy Ghost. And I had been consistent with it every service. And after a while, when everybody in the church had mostly left, it said just me and Sister Gibbs and Sister Cyphers. I broke down, started crying, and started shaking. Something started happening. And it was real. It was real. I started becoming desperate. I really want the Holy Ghost. It was just us, those two old women and me. I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. And Sister Gibbs said, hold on! And Sister Cypher said, turn loose! But there was something about both of them. I knew what they meant. And I started turning loose to some things and started holding on to some other things. And pretty soon, the Holy Ghost came into my life. You know why? I wanted it with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Enough to keep going and keep going no matter how much they cared, how much they prayed or didn't pray, how dry or dull the service might be. I wouldn't give up. I wanted my God. And I want to tell you something. If you're going to get anything in the work of God, you're going to have to go with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Let's praise Him some more tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Brother Joe, you can come up and conclude the service. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's come and pray. I welcome, amen, everyone to come and pray. I want to come and call on Jesus with all of your heart. And while we're praying, let's pray for Sister Vicky. She's coughing up some blood. We want God to heal her right now. Amen. Miracle working God. Come and pray. Talk to the Lord. He knows why you're here. Amen. You just tell Him like you would a friend. God, here am I. Amen. That's what prayer is. Just talk to Him. Doesn't matter how soft or how loud you are. Amen. Jesus, we pray for our sister right now in the name of Jesus. God, you'd touch her. Praise God. You are the great physician. Hallelujah. Thank you for your healing right now. God, we're here to seek you with all of our hearts. We want you in our lives. All these that are present here tonight, in Jesus' name, bless every one of them. Hallelujah. Only you can give them, Lord, what they're desiring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He was wounded for our transgression.
Yes, amen.
He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely He bore our sorrow. Was wounded for our transgression.
Jesus.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Surely He bore our sorrow. He was wounded.
Hallelujah. Let Him bless you right
for
now.
For our Jesus. Transgression.
Jesus, thank you for hanging on the cross.
Lord. He was bruised
Lord,
for our iniquity.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus, people here tonight will want you.
Surely
thank you, Lord.
Help the
breakthrough.
He bore Jesus. Our sorrow.
Hallelujah. You are not forgotten. He knows right where you are. Praise God. One more time with your heart lifted towards heaven. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know what everyone
Hallelujah.
Is desiring tonight. Oh, thank you for every one of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. He is a mighty God. I remember the very first time as I was assembled in a place with some of the people that are here tonight. When I was just a kid. Praise God. For the very first time I decided to really pray. That's when I actually felt something. And I've been feeling something, but it was a heavy something. Praise God. And when I prayed and started looking towards what was making me feel so heavy, I started feeling something. And it was a good something. Today I'm filled with that good something. And so can you. Like somebody told me once, I have the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God in you. If I got it, you can get it. Because God is not any respecter of persons. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for this time together. God, I thank you for ministering and blessing to everyone in this place tonight. Cause us all to go to glory so we can be forever with you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. Thanks for coming.